Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. Brandon Adams will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk some Georgia Bulldogs with him. He's the host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. He joins us every Tuesday at 1:20. Big win for Georgia. Impressive win for Georgia on Saturday against Mississippi State. Texas coming to town on Saturday night. So another fun one as just a crazy SEC schedule continues. Every weekend's nuts. We'll get to the AMA at 1:40 as well. Phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. Call us up and ask us anything. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a minute.
Oh, no, I lost it. I was trying to, because the Braves made some more bench hirings or reassignment and everything like that. Like, do you think when they gave Manager Weiss, the job, they were like, okay, we need you. Was it his idea to go out and get some other dudes, or was it more or less Alex's idea?
I don't know. Probably collaboration, but I would imagine it was his.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I was curious.
What do you think?
I think Alex then was like, okay.
It's a hard question.
Okay, we understand you're the face, but we're going to get these guys in here. Let's get some fresh ideas.
Okay. But, yeah, because like, how would Walt Weiss know that
exactly
guy from the Met?
Yeah, but
I don't know what Alex's history is with him either.
Right, I'm just curious. I'm always curious about that the different things of hiring and who and all those different things, because you know, not saying that we, because I was just reading an article about, you know, the Giants job is open. A lot of people understand how that organization, how that family, how they feel about Bill Belichick. They love him.
The Mara family,
yeah,
the Giants,
and he loves them. Mm-hmm. And is this an opportunity, how bad it was in North Carolina? We already know the buyout ain't nothing for him to want to go back. Because he's an NFL guy. He wants Don Shula's record. Does he get an opportunity to go back and coach the Giants?
Do you think that what's happened at North Carolina has any impact on that?
No.
The Giants love him, and that's that. They just kind of view it as different entities.
Yeah.
I think you're right about them, probably. I think other franchises are probably like, I don't know. Like, that's a whole bunch of
I agree with
that's
that.
A circus coming to town. And also, you know, I don't know. It's hard to win in college football. I always thought if he was going to be there and succeed, it was going to take a couple years because he needed to develop. I mean, they didn't have a good roster in the first place. They didn't do a good job acquiring talent either. That's the problem. But if they were going to win at North Carolina at all, it was going to take time. And they're playing better.
They are playing.
They're not.
They had a nice win like this
playing
past weekend.
Great, but they're playing better. And I don't know. By the end of the year, they might have more wins in the ACC than Clemson and Florida State. So, like, you know what I mean? It just sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And I know, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people were rooting for it to fail in North Carolina. A lot of people have enjoyed what has happened down there. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be soon. Like, we can't have too many more coaches. Like, he's getting old, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, at a certain point, you just can't really hire a guy who's 78 years old to be your head coach in the NFL. Now, he's not there yet.
Right.
But I don't know, what is he, 73 or something like that? Like,
I mean, we all know
years go by.
The oldest one is obviously Pete Carroll. So, I mean, he's right.
You
he's
see how
right
that's
there.
Going.
Not going well. Not going well at all in Vegas.
I don't think it's because he's old that it's not going well.
Yeah, it's not going well. But it'd be interesting to see how they do that, because the one thing that all coaches who are coming into a situation is got a quarterback.
Yeah, and they do.
And they do.
I think that he's got to find a way to stay healthy. But
they got some good young talent that's got to find a way to stay healthy. I think if he had that damn defense, Bill Belichick's brain power with that defense?
Yeah, with all those guys on that D-line?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would work.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that would work.
Sign me up.
Yeah, but I'm not saying nobody's Lawrence Taylor or anything because, you know, it is easy to be a great coach when you got that guy.
I know, but I always hate doing that too, though, just because, like, every great coach had great players.
I just love the funniest thing about the whole Belichick.
You're right. Lawrence Taylor's different.
It's like his former players that play for the Patriots talk about how he's get on their damn nerves with the whole Lawrence. I'm not him. And Lawrence, I'm a really good player.
Right.
All right. He was the greatest.
He was the greatest.
Okay?
Yeah.
So stop trying to damn tell me, well, he would have did this.
Yeah. Also,
or he did that.
Take the good with the bad. Yeah. I showed up for the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
I didn't do any drugs this week. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know?
But, I mean, the thing about it was,
I'm doing good.
He showed up late and still will go get three damn sacks.
Yeah, he stayed up all night the night before, didn't know the game was happening, showed up at halftime and got three sacks.
I love
the
they had
half.
A clip with he was.
He's just a different guy.
Where they had Daryl Strawberry on one. Could you imagine New York City at that time with LT, Doc, and Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Damn.
Good time to be.
Whoa,
good
boy.
Time to be selling. It was a seller's market.
Seller's market. God almighty. Them three dudes.
Yeah, man. Just the Mets at that time in general.
The 86 Mets. Like the 85, 84, 86 Mets.
Whole group of absolute savages that exist, like Lenny Dykstra.
Oh,
like,
God.
Those guys. Yeah, man. Just hang out outside Shea Stadium just with, like, just a trench
what was
coat.
That, what was that
what
club?
Do you need?
What was that club back there? The Roxy?
I don't know.
I think it was called the Roxy down there.
Studio 54 or something like that.
Yeah, I knew that was a happening spot there, Bunk.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of mistakes were made in those bathroom stalls. All right.
Damn, man, they're out in the open.
Let's get to let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
First of all, we got to get shorter third downs. We had a couple more long third downs yesterday. And then the other thing about it is we got to execute better. You know, our first third down of the game, we get sacked for sack fumble. We got to execute what Mike's saying, what he's telling us to do. We got to get those things done from a communication standpoint, from whether it be Mike, whether it be us listening, whatever the case may be, that we can get those things done because it was clear look. Something that we worked on, something that we practiced, something we got to execute. So we got to execute better across the board. We got to execute better for Mike, really, to be absolutely honest with you, like across the board. You know, Mike's got to play better. He wants to play better. He's always going to be one of those guys that's very hard on himself. But he is a young man. He is a first-year quarterback in his first year, and we got to play better for him.
I mean, all those are important. And I'm not going to and I'm not as easy to brush that off as some people are. So
what?
That the because yeah, he played a lot of college ball.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
it's a lot different.
It's different,
yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah, you're not playing,
yeah, it's a lot different.
You're not playing Cal on a Saturday afternoon,
it's a lot different. It's a lot different, yeah. I mean, but we, as we mentioned, to start the show, like you're already at a point where if you had a different quarterback before Michael, a veteran, a bridge quarterback, say, yeah, like Russell Wilson or somebody, you know what I mean, it wouldn't be a situation where win or else this year. But because you had a catastrophic situation when you – because we mentioned yesterday, Michael Lane's going to be playing right now. If your plan went the way the plan was laid out.
Right.
But it wasn't – and it was catastrophic. And so you needed this year to be – what did we always talk about? You got to become a veteran fast.
Yeah.
You got to grow up fast.
Mm-hmm.
You need your quarterback to do that in order – and this team with all these young players to grow up so much faster than maybe – they start. You just see signs week in and week out of the game getting better.
You because of all that, of all the context that you just listed, you don't have the luxury of the normal timeline.
You don't
like
you,
a lot of teams with a first year starter, second year quarterback, whatever, and all the different young guys across the board that this team's playing right now. You know, you'd be in this situation, be like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's frustrating that they're losing the way that they're losing. It's unacceptable to be kind of close but not there every single weekend.
Yes.
But I think it would be a slightly different reaction. Not that different. Like, look, people want to win. They don't really care.
I understand. You want to win, but most people want
the timeline would be a little different.
It'd be a little different because you know, sometimes – let me rephrase that because I don't want to – but a lot of times you get more grace with a younger quarterback unless you're a lame duck coach.
Right.
Brian Daboll.
Sure.
Matt Eberflus last year.
Sure.
You know, Dan Quinn's getting – because how great his young quarterback was, you notice what's going on this year. People getting hurt.
But see, that's what you don't want to get into, though, because those are organizations that start getting it wrong on different timelines with general manager, coach, general manager, coach. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to fire this coach, but we'll keep the general manager. Well, then we're going to fire the general manager, but keep this coach. Mm-hmm. Like, all of the stuff that you just laid out there is why, if this season keeps going the way that it's going, everybody's gone and you start over, yeah, which is what you would have to do. You got to time it up and get everybody back on the same. Because right now, Raheem is victim to Terry Fontenot's timeline.
Yes.
Terry Fontenot's in year five.
Yes.
If he gets fired, everybody gets fired.
Yes.
Right? Michael Penix is victim to the Kirk Cousins debacle.
Yes.
Like, you know, because
but the thing about it is, it's like,
I don't mean victim, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. And that's the thing about it is, like, you have got to put together some wins.
Yeah.
You got to put together some wins.
You can win your way out of anything.
And that is the most important thing because, again, I don't know, I'm trying to keep it week to week to week to week. But when you when Mike, because I didn't know who the hell their next whatever opponents were, they need to go 3-0 bunk.
Yeah.
All right.
They got to be 500 by December.
You got to give yourself a chance in December.
That's right.
You got to give your chance. You got to give yourself, if you're this Falcons team, a chance in December. Mm-hmm. Because if not, all this is going to happen. You got to give yourself. And that's going back to training camp when we were out there talking and the consensus and, you know, people that, you know, we want to talk Vegas. This team's an 8-win team.
That's right. 8-9.
Yeah.
Right around 500.
Yeah. And so that's still a possibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing about it is. Yeah. These seasons are long.
Can you overcome that?
They're short,
that?
But they're long.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of paths to it. And you're right. Carolina, New Orleans, and the Jets, those teams are all beatable teams, winnable games. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and act like I didn't watch the first 9 games of the season and see this team lose 30-0 to Carolina and lose 34-10 to the Dolphins. Yep. So they're capable of losing to anyone on given day.
Damn sure.
So don't mistake me saying that as some sort of overconfidence or amnesia or something like that, because I've watched it too. But yeah, it wouldn't be crazy that they could beat these three teams, get back to 6-6. And there's a lot of different ways to get to 6-6. Now, theirs wasn't the most fun.
Right.
Nobody wanted to lose 4 games in a row ever. They've done that both years under Raheem, which isn't great. That's not a good resume item. But if you get back to 500, Seattle's coming to town, and they're a good team. Who knows? You know, you get to December at 500, which is where everyone thought that they were going to be anyway. Right. Again, I hear myself saying this, and I hear people rolling their eyes like, what are you doing? It wouldn't surprise me if they lose all 3 of these next 3 games.
Damn sure wouldn't.
Like, I'm not trying to sit here and like give a campaign speech or something for this football team. I'm just saying, like, no one would have been shocked through 12 games if they were 6-6.
No.
And there's still a pretty realistic chance that they do that. That they have to. If they don't, then
it's a wrap.
Then it's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. I hope they do.
Me too, man.
That'd be really great.
Me too.
That'd be really great.
I'm not ready to punt on a damn season.
I know, man. I just.
It's not ready to.
No.
It's not ready to.
No. No, come on. You can beat the Panthers. What do they got? Chuba Hubbard?
And Rico.
Rico? Chuba and Rico?
Yeah.
Rico's good, though.
He's very
good. He's playing really good.
And all his efforts, he's great. Liggett, too, man.
That's right. That was not Bo, actually. That was an Xavier Liggett clip. And he played. It's pretty good.
He hasn't been doing much on that season.
No, he's not had a great year. All right, Brandon Adams is going to join us next. Dog Nation Daily podcast host. We'll talk some Georgia football with him. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
20 minutes away from the AMA, the Ask Me Anything here on a Tuesday afternoon. Phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. You can call us up and ask us anything. Great phone calls yesterday, obviously, responding to the Falcons game. We covered a lot of different ground. Understandably, there is a lot of different ground to cover, but today we'll get back into just good old-fashioned fun AMA questions. Brandon Adams joins us in studio on Tuesdays at this time. Dog Nation Daily podcast host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. BA, how are you?
I am doing great. Hope y'all are.
Yeah, just a comfortable win for Georgia on Saturday.
It was nice to see, right? Yeah. It was actually pretty enjoyable to see Georgia go in there. I was there. Stadium wasn't full, but it's a pretty loud crowd to begin the game. Georgia, obviously, as tradition would dictate, gave up the opening touchdown.
They had to.
And then they were pretty locked in after that. It is perhaps evidence, perhaps, that Georgia's starting to turn the corner.
Mm. Randy said peaking. Asked. Didn't say.
Yeah, I was asked about the peaking aspect of this team. I don't know. I know they're a damn good football team. When they play their best football, they can beat everybody. It doesn't matter. It don't matter if they do that. But at the same time, those teams can also beat them if they play their best.
And I don't mind telling you that I have spent most of this season assuming that maybe Georgia just wasn't going to find that highest gear, that what I perceive to be their highest level of play, you know, it's November. The season's almost over. Maybe they just weren't going to quite get there. Well, they haven't gotten there yet, but from like fourth quarter Ole Miss, they outscored Ole Miss that day 17-0. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss still a top 10 team. Florida, and then last week against Mississippi State, who, by the way, has played everybody close all year long. Boy, it gives you a reason to believe that maybe showcase game, national television, there are going to be 10 million people watching this game on TV on Saturday night. This would be a pretty good time for Georgia to show what it's really all about.
If that is what's happening, if they have sort of taken that next step or figured out some things that needed tweaking to get there, what are those? Like, what are the differences in your mind if that is what's happening with Georgia right now?
Well, I think you're seeing individual guys start to play a little bit better on defense. For instance, Raylan Wilson was amazing on Saturday. In the first quarter, by the way, two sacks in the first quarter, which negates whatever momentum Mississippi State was trying to build. So a lot of this is, can individual guys step up, raise their level of play, and then collectively benefit from that? The offensive side of the ball has actually been really good. You know, Gunnar Stockton somewhat quietly nationally is having a really good year.
Yeah.
And Georgia ran for 300 yards on Saturday. I mean, to me, those are really strong benchmarks that indicate that Georgia can score with anybody. Just weirdly to be asking this given Georgia's traditional pedigree, but can they get enough stops? That's what we're starting to wonder. I do think, though, given the way they matched up a year ago, Texas does feel like a more favorable matchup than some of these teams that want to go 100 miles an hour, want to snap it 100 times. This feels like a slightly better matchup for Georgia than some of these very particular offenses that probably caused Georgia more trouble.
What was the biggest surprise to you Saturday? Was it the fact is that they were able to get stops?
Yeah, probably so. The fact that they were able to – I mean, I expected the game to be closer than it was,
right,
just because Mississippi State has played teams close, and that's all Georgia really does. And so I expected that. It seems like on Saturday, Georgia had a very good plan for dealing with early start, out in the middle of nowhere, where they're staying in Tupelo and driving an hour plus to get to the stadium. It seems like Georgia put a lot of effort towards that. And as corny as this sounds, I do think it matters for Georgia. I think this team likes playing together. I think that Kirby Smart's good. For as hard-nosed as he is, he knows how to cultivate that togetherness feeling. And I do think that this team is having a good time with itself right now.
I also think Nate Frazier kind of looking like the guy that we thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year. Is it just kind of got the fumbles out of his system and his confidence is back? I know they're using him a lot more than they were.
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's part of that. And I will say real quickly, the biggest disappointment from my preseason expectation during the season was the fact that Nate Frazier wasn't the A-list running back that looked to be on Saturday, but he was on Saturday. So it's two things. A, I think he is more confident since the fumbled Alabama. And the other thing is, this Georgia offensive line, which was a mess in September, is just playing a good bit better right now. A couple of freshmen are playing pretty well. A couple of injured guys have come back. And this is an offensive line that's making it pretty easy on the running game right now.
What about the young tight end? I mean, obviously, I mean, you're 6'7", and Gunnar threw it 7'2".
Yeah, right.
And he goes up and gets this. I mean, because I remember Rusty saying something about him earlier, and then the other kid that got hurt earlier with the ankle.
Ethan Barbour was playing yet to begin with. And so Elias Williams was a 5-star. I have to admit, I thought he would probably – I don't want to say project. That's not fair. But I thought he would be a little bit more developmental than he's turned out to be, because he was a big body guy in high school. But some of this, when you're 6'7", sometimes you have to learn how to use your body. Right. I didn't quite know that he was ready to come in and play, but my gosh, he certainly seems to be. And it would not surprise me at all if nationally that moment when Williams goes up and makes the catch, the people outside of our typical bubble, they paid attention to that more so than anything, because it reminds them of Darnell Washington.
Yep.
And all these superheroes that Georgia has seemed to have the tight end position, Williams certainly fit into that on Saturday.
Yeah, they find a way to keep finding these guys.
Yeah, yes.
And now they're throwing it to him, too, which is nice. Saturday will be Georgia and Texas. Obviously, Georgia got the better of Texas two times last year. Different teams, Arch Manning, quarterback now. To me, if it boils down to this, it still boils down to a huge matchup in Georgia's favor, which is Kirby versus Sark. But how do you look at what's going to happen on Saturday night?
I may think Sark's a better coach than you do. Now, I do think it's a matchup in favor of Georgia, but his time in Atlanta notwithstanding, not a very good offensive coordinator here, I don't think. I think Sark's actually a good coach.
I think he's a good coach, too.
Been in the Final Four the last 2 years.
I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a good coach.
I think if we're saying that Georgia's also improved, Texas has improved over the course of the season as well.
Definitely.
They've played a more difficult schedule this year than they probably did a year ago. But the matchup does favor George, I believe. I think that Texas plays just a tick slower, quarterback holding the ball just a little bit longer. And that this gives Georgia a chance to have more pass rush than other games, because a year ago, Georgia got more pass rush against Texas than it got against anybody else. Mikael Williams had a great game in October against Texas. They got after really both quarterbacks last year, to the extent that Arch played, in a way they weren't getting after other teams. So it is reasonable to think they might be able to do some of that again. I think this is a really big game and a really fun matchup. But I do think there are aspects of this game that do favor Georgia.
What was your – because we remember we had Kirby on – a little bit after Arch committed to Texas. And I was like, oh, I didn't, like, all right, another gone. But that was like a big blow losing out on Arch?
I mean, I think that you wanted him, of course. I think that, look, Georgia, to be honest, has a strange relationship with quarterbacks, because they've had 1,000,000 5-stars that have come through like a turnstile and turned in, almost like the Abe Simpson meme. They come in and turn right around and go right back out, and yet they won 2 national championships with a walk-on, and they're having success right now with a guy in Gunnar Stockton that did not have the same pedigree that Arch Manning had. So the relationship between Georgia and quarterbacks is always a bit weird. I think when Arch chose Texas, I remember the day that he did, I think some Georgia fans were okay. I think there was maybe an assumption that he was always going to pick somewhere else anyway, because I just think that Georgia fans have a little bit of a weird perception of Georgia and quarterback, although the success they've had with the quarterbacks they have had certainly speaks for itself. But, Manning choosing Texas, especially in the advent of the NIL age, I think there were some Georgia fans who were like, well, this was the decision he was always going to make anyway, to go somewhere else for bigger dollars. That was a time in which Georgia wasn't thought to play that game at the highest level. So I think the Manning decision, when it happened, played into the perceptions that happened to exist of Georgia at the time.
Yeah, and it is interesting, the connect or the relationship with quarterbacks, where the big name guys come in and maybe don't have as much of a of a career, and then these guys that are sort of, I don't know if they're afterthoughts, but not the huge 5-star guys, have great careers. And I almost wonder, Kirby, I'm sure, would love to have a number one overall pick quarterback, but there's something about these guys that thrive at Georgia that feels similar.
Well, there's a chance the next one, Jared Curtis, who's coming in this class, he may be really good. Right. I mean, he certainly looks the part right now. And I thought the Carson Beck era was going to give Georgia a chance to establish a more sensible hierarchy where the older guy gave way to the next oldest guy.
Right.
But obviously the Beck thing turned out to be pretty weird too. Mm-hmm. And yet it's important to know, for as occasionally weird as the Georgia quarterback situation is, it does not seem to impact the team on the field very much.
No. How do you think this thing at LSU plays out? Because, me and Andy talked about it. I got time and billable hours money.
Yeah.
You don't get mine.
All these programs that try to get the fired with cause, and so therefore we're going to save the buyout, it never seems to work.
Never works.
What LSU, not to get too deep in the weeds, never but what works. They made a mistake on is if they want to negotiate the buyout, they should have done it with Kelly before they fired him, because they have some leverage then. But once you fire him, Kelly's like, I have no incentive to do anything else other than hold my hand out and say, give me my money. And that's exactly what's going to eventually end up happening.
What about their future prospects? Like, is this hurting them
no
at all in trying to get the big name
guys? I said this today. It's hard. It's a long time ago now. But if you want to go back to the time in which Nick Saban was hired at Alabama, there was no shortage of people saying, oh, what a mess this is. Saban was considered a job hopper at the time. Alabama was considered a mess where there were too many chefs in the kitchen because of all the boosters involved there. They'd had a string of failed coaches. There was this attitude of, oh, nobody wants the Alabama job because it's such a mess. One good coach changes everything. I don't think any truly good coach is scared off this LSU situation at all. And if they get the right coach, which I think they have a very good chance of doing, all of the hysteria and the craziness will be fixed just like that, because that's how valuable good coaches still are.
Who is the right coach, do you think, for them?
I mean, the best one you can hire right now that would probably want it's probably Lane Kiffin. I think that Lane's going to probably leverage this job against the Florida job, maybe Auburn, but probably LSU and Florida.
Yeah.
And he's just going to choose the one that gives him the best offer,
yeah,
which includes the amount of money from an NIL standpoint he gets a chance to spend on players.
Don't, and this isn't me saying one way to do it is right or wrong, but like we talked about the Brent Key quote last week about how that might have cost him a little bit of money the way that
cut me open.
Lane's going to do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He's going, whatever job he ends up getting is going to be the highest paid job in America. If he stays.
And listen, I think he's earned the right to take that next step if he wants. He's a much more mature coach now than he used to be.
And then Kirby, 2 days later, is going to become the new highest paid coach in college football.
I think Brandon, you can count on that.
We appreciate it.
Good to be with you guys.
Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 30 seconds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Three people on hold. That means we have three phone lines available. If you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll get to all of you throughout the segment here, but we'll start with Tababi, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Tababi.
Good afternoon, y'all.
Hello.
And Randy, to your family, happy Veterans Day. Same to you, Andy. I know your dad's a veteran.
Thank you.
So, you both have very competitive wives, and so do I. And as y'all know, I love my wife dearly. And she's carrying my first child, and I'm just so happy with her. But my wife's a Colts fan, and she won't start talking mess, y'all, and I'll know how to deal with this.
Uh-oh.
You know, normally I could just rub it in the fact that, because my wife's an Arkansas fan, that's a lifelong misery as well. You know, we usually share commonality of cheering for bad teams. Mm-hmm. No longer that is the case, because apparently this is a Colts year. She's trying to say my son is going to be a Colts fan. Y'all, how do I get out of this? Because I ain't having that.
I don't. You know what? I think Andy's better at this than me, because my wife doesn't have a sports team.
Right.
Yeah, she likes the Lakers because she's from LA and everything like that. But
well,
there's
nothing you can do this week.
Yeah.
They beat your team.
Yeah.
Like they beat you.
I'm sorry.
And so that's that. Now, as far as like fanhood goes, I don't know. I don't know the right answer to that, because my kids are so young that they don't really know about that yet. Like,
but
I don't want them to root for teams that I don't like.
But what I mean is, like, your wife's big sports fan.
Yes.
Big, huge sports fan.
She is.
And
mostly baseball and college football.
Yes.
But she loves those sports.
But I'm saying, if the day comes where it is App State versus Washington.
Right.
All right? Because it's going to come.
I hope it does.
Yes.
It would be really fun.
What is, first of all, what's it going to be like, the babies? Who's wearing what?
I know. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't know.
But
we have to
Would you let her? Would you?
Depends on how old they are.
Would you let her put them in all app stuff? Say, Andy, they're wearing this.
No, like no.
You okay.
Absolutely not. Like okay. if it happened next year, yes. and they're 5-2 and they don't get to pick,
right.
Then I don't know. We'd split them, maybe. Like pick the one, you know.
How would you do that?
I mean, if I'm being honest, today,
right.
I'm taking Jack.
Okay.
Like, a little attitude this morning from the redhead, you know? But I don't know, maybe not, though. He was kind of, didn't want me to put him to bed last night, so maybe, honestly, she can have both of them
right.
today. They want her so bad at bedtime anyway.
Right.
They can, you can have them.
Oh,
but like when they're older, say it happens in 15 years and they're 20 and 17. They are old enough to
yes,
make choices.
Yes, that they are.
And now they have
I'm not talking about then. I'm talking about now.
But now they have an obligation to decide who they want to make sad and make happy.
Okay.
And we'll see.
Okay. I would love to see that because I can see this. I can see this at your house. Your wife getting up and putting out like 4 outfits, 2 from each school, and asking them to pick one.
Pick. Yeah. I'll say this. I've been doing a better job of outfitting them with purple and gold. I don't think they have App State stuff right now. She's kind of like she's not a fair weather fan.
Right.
She loves her teams no matter
what. Right, right.
But they're kind of, you know, they're not what they were.
Right.
She doesn't really know how she feels about Coach,
the new coach.
What's his name? Dow Loggins.
Right.
She doesn't really know how she feels about.
I forgot he was a coach.
Yeah, she's not feeling Dow that much. But I'm not really feeling Jed Fish either. But I don't. You know, I'm in it. I'm in it every single Saturday, no matter what. That's a good question. I don't know how to answer it to Bobby. Say it with your chest.
Yes, all you can do.
It's
though.
Probably not going to work. Jim is in Flowery Branch. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I don't know if I came in late and just hopped on the radio and heard y'all say call in. So I do have a question. I've been hearing everybody talk about, is Michael Penix the answer for the Falcons? Is he got the skills? Does he need more time on the bench or what? Mm-hmm. And they keep saying Kirk Cousins is not the answer. Mm-hmm. I would, despite the misleading answers last season, put that behind it. Wouldn't Cousins be a more seasoned pro with the right number of reps, doing all the first team reps and everything in a given week before the game coming up than it would have been in the last time he appeared? Just curious. Did
you not see the last time he played?
Yeah. I mean, and I know Penix was trying to be able to play that Sunday, so maybe they split a bit, but they lost 34-10 to the Dolphins.
Did you see what he...
when he played?
No,
that ship has sailed.
No, that's all the way gone.
They blanked that up, and now they're owning it.
Yes.
That's over. Now they have to develop Michael Penix.
Yes.
Putting him on the bench isn't going to help.
No, it's not.
The only way he's going to get better
is if he plays.
Is if he plays. And, you know, hopefully he gets better. Mo is in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
Andy, Randy, what's going on, fellas?
Hello, Mo.
Hey, I see Nico got fired. Well, peep this. So I've been researching on this whole little story in regards to why the Luka trade actually happened. I'm not sure if y'all looked at it. But apparently the owner wanted to move the team to Vegas. And when NBA requested
it's a theory.
That's a theory that happened. Yeah, we've all heard that.
Okay, so y'all looked at it. All right, so my question to y'all is really in regards to Penix. Like, I'm not going to lie, man. I love Michael Penix, but he has played horribly. So I'm not trying to put Kirk Cousins in the game, but Andy Randy, from your standpoint, like, what needs to happen? Is it the play calling, or is it, like, his confidence? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on out there.
It's everything.
Thank you, Mo.
It's everything. But he's got to play better. I mean, when Mike Cotton came in here and said, what do you say about Penix? Like, criticize him. He's playing well.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah, it's totally reasonable to say that he's not playing well.
He's not playing well.
Now, I think it's unreasonable to say that you're sure that he can never play well.
I think that is just – I think that's a far-fetched thing right there to say he can't play. How do you know? He just started playing. So, I mean, it's a growing pains thing. Everybody wants a young quarterback until a young quarterback does young quarterback things.
I know.
Meaning grow with the position. And you have a quarterback here who is uber-talented, which he is. Growing. So it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. And so but that's always goes back to the microwave thing. Like, you want it to happen all the time. Very rarely do you get. That's why there's, you can count on one hand sometimes rookie quarterbacks who are finished products,
right,
who lead their team to the playoffs.
I don't think they're ever finished products.
Or lead their team to the playoffs, yeah, and all the things, different things, because the position is hard.
But even the examples that we give, like the very recent examples, you've seen because of injury or, yeah, because of circumstance, those guys come back to reality, yes, in the next year.
Yes.
Like, C.J. Stroud's not
everything,
setting the world on fire right now. He's not even playing right now.
Everything went right for them. Everything exactly. went right for Washington
Daniels.
Last year.
Absolutely.
It all went right. But now it's not going right.
Right.
And now you see how hard it is to play quarterback. It's just it's a hard position to play. I'm not giving up on my. I'm not even in the realm of like, I don't know if he played. I'm in the realm of like, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
And that's what's so, I think the most frustrating thing for you and me. Well, the most frustrating thing for me is I love Michael Penix, and it sucks to see this happening.
Yes.
Because I'm not surprised it's happening because he's young, but like, you know, I just want to,
yes,
I want to defend him, but it's not my job to do that. I think the most frustrating thing is neither one of us is surprised. We talked about it all summer.
We talked about it all summer.
But I also understand, like, no one cares.
I get
like,
that part.
I
get that part.
But like, you know, this is kind of what it looks like sometimes with a first year starting quarterback. Anyway, Christian is in Atlanta. Hey, Christian.
What's up, Andy Randy?
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hey, I got a quick question.
Sure.
Do you think the Falcons would survive in the XFL?
What?
And the next question is, I have a date coming up on, like, November the 15th.
Okay.
And what should I take this girl on a date?
Hold on. Why you got a date?
Yeah, that's a while from now.
This is weekend. Okay.
Jeez.
Damn, it's already November. Damn. Okay. So you got a date. That's you got a date Saturday. Friday, Saturday. You got a date on Saturday. And you said what?
Yeah. I don't know where to take her. Like, I know it's college football Saturday, but
first date?
I'm trying to watch a TV sport.
First date?
Kind of, yes.
Oh, he done got her. He done. Yeah. Okay. All right. You say you want to watch the game? He gonna go,
oh, that's too bad.
Did he say he want to watch go watch sports?
I think he said he wants to make sure he's watching the games.
Oh, well, take her to a nice sports bar or something.
That's what I would say, do, especially on a Saturday.
Yeah, take her to a nice sports bar.
If she is a college football fan.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, let's make sure she wants to watch the football game, too.
But he said,
because if you're going on a date and she doesn't want to watch football, that's your last date with her.
Yeah, but he said kind of, right?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It could mean any number of
different
things.
That means that he's probably, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But hopefully. Or maybe they've been friends and they've hung out, and now it's the first time she's actually agreeing to go on a date with him.
That could be it.
You're thinking about it from the real optimistic standpoint. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. This might be, you know, somebody they with a group of friends or coworker or something, and they've been, and he thinks he's getting out of the friend zone, but he's not if she doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, but no.
I would say try to think what she wants to do, you know?
Oh, no, I'm all for that. But he want to watch sports.
Yeah.
Your best bet is, we should be serious, because we would ask him, does she like sports? Because if she does, then y'all can go watch the game together.
It's a big key. If she doesn't, don't go to a sports bar.
But the thing about it is, go somewhere where they got TVs, though.
Yeah, like a putt shack or
something. Yeah, go somewhere where they got TVs.
You can do fun stuff.
You can, yeah.
Still kind of side-eye the TV.
I would say, though, just make sure, like, if this date is important to you, make sure that the football game that you're watching is not the main thing you're focusing on.
You can't just stand there all day and watch the football game, no matter what you do.
Yeah, right. You can't. Unless the football game is more important to you than the date, and then cancel the date and go on at another time. But like, if you're really locked, you really want to watch Georgia Texas, then, like, you know, reschedule
or go on day date,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
you know what
date.
I mean?
Go on a day
date. I don't know. I don't have enough details, but you're setting yourself up for trouble. Tim's in Smyrna. Hey, Tim.
Andy and Sir Randy.
Hello, man.
Hey. So. I tell you, tell my guy before me, Antico Pizza at the Battery. Can't go wrong. You got plenty of options if that place goes sideways.
There you go.
Battery's always a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, going back to Beat the Freeze, we'll keep it at Truist Park. I'm following up on, have y'all seen Gwinnett Stryper's Beat the Fridge?
No.
He's a big, fat white guy that barely runs around the field, and you got to beat him.
I've never seen that.
I would have thought you would have.
Beat the Fridge.
Why?
All the Stripers games.
I've only been to three Stripers games, Andy.
More than me.
Yeah.
Maybe that sounds great, though.
Maybe four.
That sounds really funny.
Yeah. But, I mean,
it should be an eating contest.
Eating contest with a guy named The Fridge.
Yeah.
You're losing.
Probably. Well, The Fridge beats everybody in running.
You're losing.
You know?
I think, though, that this guy starts out first. And he looks like
right. And then you track him down.
And then he takes off though.
Do you get any money?
He's actually a big guy that can run.
What do you get for beating The Freeze?
I think you get like a $100 racetrack gift card.
Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad at all.
And
I'm not swearing about it. You get something.
The pride of knowing that you beat The Freeze.
Because like if you want to race The Freeze in the first place, like if you're one of those guys that's down there on the field, you think you can beat him. And then if you do beat him, you're telling people about it.
Yes.
You know? Like, you know I beat the Freeze.
You know I beat the Freeze,
like,
right?
You're going to lead conversations with that.
Yeah, I'm Randy, the guy who beat the Freeze.
You know I beat the Freeze last week?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
How long do you get to say that?
Until the following season.
Okay, all season?
Hell no.
You get a whole year?
You carry that to the
end of the day, bro.
Forever?
Yeah. I think you can carry that for a while, man. Huh. I think
it's going to be on a plaque in my living room.
You know I beat the Freeze 18 years ago.
I'm serious, though. You could. You really could keep that.
As long as they still do it.
Yeah.
As long as they're still doing Beat the Freeze, then you can say that.
Because you can tell your grandkids.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, back in 2025, old grandpa beat the Freeze guy.
That's your claim to fame.
Yeah, man.
All right, fair enough. Ike is in Atlanta. Hey, Ike.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Pretty good.
Good. I respect both of you guys' football IQ. Does Quentin Williams truly help the Cowboys this year on defense, or is still a lost cause?
Oh, no. He's a damn good player. This is a next year pick, though. A next year trade or whatever. Because they're so far out of it. That's the thing with that. They're just out of it. But
Defense is real.
Their defense is
real bad.
Because as good as they are up front, they can't cover.
Right.
They can't cover. And so until they they shore it up, people won't run all over them like they have been.
Yeah.
But they can't cover.
Because who was the guy that got back for Micah?
Frank.
Because he's a good player, too.
Yeah, Frank Clark's a good player.
No, it wasn't Frank Clark.
No, Frank Clark. It was Clark.
Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark. Thank you. Kenny Thank Clark. You. Thank you. But, I mean, he's a damn good player. You got him under contract control for a couple years. So, I mean, but until they play better in the back end, it don't matter.
All right. Final call. College Park Johnny.
Yo, what's happening, fellas?
Hey, Johnny.
One question. Ask a question for the members of the 92.9 The Game in the city of Atlanta. After listening to Mark Zeno with Carl Dukes last week.
All right. Hold on. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. We already know. Y'all heard you yesterday.
Oh, what was he going to say?
Some craziness.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's about to say some craziness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, we're good. Yeah, he was going to say some craziness.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough way to end it.
No, because we don't allow people to talk about our coworkers.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
That's what he was
going to do. Oh, he was? Yes, no, we're not doing that. Don't be calling up here.
That's what he was going to do.
We like and respect all the other shows.
Yes.
Okay?
We do.
Don't be calling up here trying to throw people under the bus.
And I heard his voice. I was like, oh, I already know this guy.
That's College Park Johnny.
Yeah, College Park.
Is he banned? Does he just get banned?
Yeah, we got Johnny, until you change your ways, you can't come back.
You're on restriction like Mo was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're grounded for a month. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
Andy, you said a phrase I'm going to start using. It's been a couple shoulds.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a couple shoulds. Shoulda done this, shoulda done that.
Oh, yeah, the Falcons have been shoulda for a decade.
It's been a couple of shoulds, and no one wants a snow cone-shaped freeze.
It's true. Happy Veterans Day.
Yeah, man.
Like, we led the show and we said it throughout, but yeah, seriously, if you're out there and you're a veteran, thank you for listening, thank you for your service, happy Veterans Day.
100% on that, and being the freeze is a young man's game. Also, Raheem's got Darnell Mooney figured out. He just needs to go out there and get more balls in his hands.
That's it.
Would help. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.